الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we have begun reading the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب الصوم في السفر وغيره, the chapter with regards to the rulings related to fasting while traveling. Fasting while traveling and other than that. And in our previous class, we have seen a number of narrations with regards to fasting, while traveling, and that this is from those excuses. This is from those excuses that would allow a person to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan. That traveling, a safar, is from those excuses that will allow a person to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the obligation of fasting and that it was prescribed upon us and likewise those nations before us in order to obtain piety. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned ayyam and ma'dudat, that they are prescribed number of days, that there are a number of days that are specific. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned likewise, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And whoever from amongst you is sick or on a journey, then if he breaks his fast, then he must make up those days from other days outside of Ramadan. Outside of Ramadan, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَ, يعني إِنْ أَفْطَرَ, إِنْ أَفْطَرَ الْمَرِيضَ أَوْ الْمُسَافِرَ فَعَلَيْهِ عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَ. Then it's incumbent for him to make up those days from other days outside of Ramadan. So this verse here is clarifying these أَعْذَار, الْأَعْذَار الْمُبِيحَ لِلْفِطْرِ فِي نَهَارِ رَمَضَانِ. So this is the fundamentals with regards to that, that these are from the excuses that will allow a person to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan, and that is al-maradu wa-safar. Al-maradu wa-safar. Both of these are mentioned in this noble verse in the Book of Allah. Rather, it's mentioned twice. The issue of the permissibility of breaking the fast for the one who is sick, and likewise the one who is traveling. And likewise, the obligation of making up those days that he missed in other days outside of Ramadan. So this is from the fundamentals with regards to fasting, that there are al-a'dhar al-mubiha lil-fitri fi nahari Ramadan. That there are excuses, a'dhar shar'iyya, legislative excuses that will allow a person to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan. But with regards to these a'dhar, the people of knowledge, they have looked in the evidences with regards to fasting in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and they have found that there is a great principle with regards to this affair. A great principle with regards to man aftara li'udhrin. Man aftara li'udhrin yazul. With regards to the person who broke his fast because of an excuse that will go away. The person who broke his fast with regards to an excuse that will go away. يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ قَضَاءُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ عِنْدَ زَوَارِ عُذْرِهِ, that it's an obligation to make up that day whenever his excuse is gone. So anyone who broke their fast because of a legislated and lawful excuse, it's allowed for him. Alhamdulillah, and this is from the ease and the beauty of the religion. But it's an obligation for him to make that day up. It's an obligation for him to make that day up or to make those days up. So the great principle with regards to this affair is that the people of knowledge, they say, man aftara li'udhrin yazuru wajaba alayhi qada'u dhalika al-yawm 'inda zawari udhrihi. 'Inda zawari udhrihi yajibu alayhi al-qada' 'inda zawari udhrihi. That whoever broke his fast because of an excuse that will go away, like sickness and traveling. This is derived from the verse here. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ يعني فَإِنْ أَفْطَرَ فَعِدَّةٌ فَعَلَيْهِ عِدَّةٌ يعني قَضَاءً مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Then he has to make up those number days. He has to make up those amount of those days because the fast of Ramadan has been prescribed ayyam and ma'dudat. And if there are numbered days that must be fasted, and the license and the excuse is only in these circumstances and in that situation in the daytime of Ramadan, and then those days must be made up outside of Ramadan. So this is a beneficial point and likewise a beneficial principle to understand with regards to breaking the fast in the daytime of Ramadan with a legislative excuse. So these verses that we see here, Allah, He mentioned ayyam and ma'dudat. And before that, Allah, He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That all you who believe, and all you who believe in Allah in the last day, and who believe in the Messenger and follow Him and take Him as a role model, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then fasting has been prescribed upon you, meaning made obligatory, furidah. عليكم الصيام يعني أن الله أوجبه عليكم just as He has made it obligatory upon those before you, indicating an indication of the virtue of fasting, that it's a great benefit for mankind and for the society and for the souls, يعني that it was prescribed for us as well as the previous nations لعلكم تتقون, in order for you to obtain piety and to purify your soul and to become upright and obedient to Allah in public and in private, in the daytime and at night. In the daytime and at night. And then Allah, He says, ayyam and ma'dudat. That this fasting that's prescribed, ayyam and ma'dudat. There are numbered days. And likewise, it will come in these verses as well, that these numbered days are in the month of Ramadan. And the months are 29 or 30 days, according to the month of that year. So this is the intent by the ayyam and ma'dudat. And then Allah, He mentions the permissibility. He mentions the rukhsah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Whoever is sick or on a journey and he broke his fast because of his sickness or because of his travels, then this is allowed for him and he must make them up from days after that. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ وَمَنْ تَطَوَّى خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَسُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then Allah, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ, to verify those أَيَّام مَعْدُودَات. Which days are they? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شاهد منكم الشهر فليصوم يعني كان حاضرا مقيما فليصومه. Then he must fast. Then whoever witnesses that month, then he must fast. The month of Ramadan. Then he must fast. فمن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. Then Allah, He repeats it again, verifying that this is with regards to the fast of Ramadan. That whoever from you is sick or on a journey, then if he breaks his fast because of this excuse, it's allowed for him, and he must make those days up from other days outside of Ramadan. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So this is from those beautiful verses and clarification of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to this great pillar about Islam, that fasting is prescribed, but there's likewise ease in this affair. So that which we had read in the previous class from those narrations that the author, he mentioned, and the rulings and the limits that are derived from those narrations, we mentioned a number of details, alhamdulillah. This is a clarification of how the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sheds great light on the Book of Allah and clarifies that which is mentioned in general in the Book of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So whoever from you is sick or on a journey and he breaks his fast, he must make that up from other days. So these narrations that we read in our previous class and those details that have come and with regards to those narrations, this is the detailed clarification of this verse. These are the detailed clarifications of this verse. What does that mean? Yani, if you're on a journey, yani, with regards to the udhur of traveling, with regards specifically to the udhur with the excuse of traveling, So this is something that's very important for a believer to have certainty with regards to, that the Sunnah is the clarification of the Quran. The detailed interpretation and clarification of the Quran and al-Islam huwa sunnah wa sunnatu hiya al-Islam, And that the reality of Islam, it is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is his laws and his legal ways. His laws and his legal ways. And the sunnah in reality is Islam. And after the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Islam that is accepted, the Islam that is accepted is the Islam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because all of the prophets previously, all of them from Adam alayhi salam, and messengers likewise from Nuh alayhi salam, all the way to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كلهم كانوا مسلمين وكلهم كانوا على دين واحد. All of them, they were Muslims, and all of them were upon one religion. Upon one religion. And the foundation of that is at Tawheed. Is al-istislamu lillahi bi-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bi-ta'a wal-bara'atu min al-shirki wa ahlihi. This is the general understanding of al-Islam, to surrender, to submit to Allah with tawheed, with sincere monotheism, and to comply to Him in obedience, and to free oneself from shirk and His people. But after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a specific understanding, and that is that which was revealed to him. And that is that which he was upon from creed and from belief and from methodology and from manners and worship and conduct and obligations that he had mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and prohibitions that he has clarified. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned this in His book in more than one place. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ يعني أَيُّهَا النَّبِي وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revealed to you the reminder, meaning the Quran, in order for you to clarify to mankind that which was revealed to them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the obligation that was upon him is to convey the message that was revealed to him from the Quran, and to clarify that. And if a person were to read this verse, for example, that it's allowed to break the fast in the daytime of Ramadan because of traveling, but he was unaware of these narrations, he would not know how to implement that. He would not know how to apply that in detail. He would know that it's permissible, but when it comes to the application of that and the details of the implementation of that, he would not be able to go straight because he does not have the light of the sunnah. So the sunnah sheds light on this general understanding. And this is just one example of that. So Allah, He says that indeed we have revealed to you the reminder, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order for you to clarify to mankind that which was revealed to them, and so that they may ponder and reflect. And Allah, He says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ أَلَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. That we have not revealed to you the book, and meaning the Quran, except for you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to clarify to them. Except for you to clarify to them that which they differ about. In any of the affairs, especially in the religious affairs, especially in understanding the book, and especially in understanding the Quran and the revelation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the means to clarify these affairs and to show properly how to implement them. And for this reason, whenever our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كان خلق نبيكم أو كان خلق النبي القرآن. That the manners of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the Quran, meaning the implementation of these rulings and commandments and these guidelines that are mentioned in the book of Allah. He applied that, he lived that, he abided by that, he clarified that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great benefit for a believer to realize and to recognize, and then from there to know with certainty that his path is the straight path, and his understanding is the right understanding, and his religion is the correct deen, and the one and that which he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah, and all other pathways are closed. All other pathways, any to the paradise, are closed. They're blocked, and they will not reach. They will not lead a person to the paradise. It's only the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest role model and example. The best role model and example for those who believe in Allah and hope for the reward from Allah, and likewise in the home and the hereafter, and they remember Allah abundantly, or they remember Allah much. So therefore, the believer, he must take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model in order to have guidance, in order to truly be upon the Quran, in order to truly follow al-Islam and to be a follower and a person of the Quran, a person, he must have detailed knowledge of the Sunnah. And that's from the benefits of authoring and studying the likes of these works, where the Sunnah is gathered upon specific topics and the likes like this to learn. And then likewise, we see that each one of these narrations that is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming by way of one of his companions who lived amongst him and learned from him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and understood his language. Yani naturally, that was their language, and they lived and experienced the revelation, and they learned the laws and the sunan and the limits from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, yani by watching him and by his implementation, and likewise by him ordering them, and also from that which he had affirmed and allowed them to do, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So no doubt their way is the correct way, and their understanding is the correct understanding. And we will not know how to fast, or know how to pray, or know how to do any of the rulings of al-Islam, or know the proper creed, or even recite one verse from the Quran, if it was not after the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal and the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the transmission of the companions. They're the ones who carried this. They're the ones who carried this trust and conveyed that to those after them, radiallahu anhum. So the point is now to remind ourselves of the correct path and the way that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is to be upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. This is the straight path. Anything that is contrary to that is falsehood, and it is not pleasing to Allah. The religion that is pleasing to Allah is the religion of Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma. What they were upon, because they were not upon anything except what they learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's what they were upon. And for this reason, barakallahu fikum, in the interpretation of the verse of Allah, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, Guide us to the straight path has been mentioned by Abu al-Aliya al-Riyahi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He's from the Tabi'een, from the great scholars of Hadith and likewise of Tafsir. He mentioned whenever he was asked, what is the straight path? مَا هُوَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? In his interpretation, he said, As-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sahibahu min ba'dihi Abu Bakr wa Umar, and his two companions after him, Abu Bakr and Umar. So if you want to be on the straight path, you have to be upon what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, in Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And likewise, Uthman and Ali, they were not upon anything except for that which Abu Bakr and Umar were upon radiyallahu anhum. All of them were agreed upon this. And likewise, the companions after them, mentioning the best of them, first and foremost, and the head of them, Al-Khulafa al-Arba, and likewise those after them, from the best of the companions, from Ibn Mas'ud and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, yani until the end of them, radiyallahu anhum jamiyan, their deen is the good deen. Their deen is the pleasing deen. They are the ones that convey to us that on the day of Arafah and the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah, he revealed, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ إِسْلَامَ دِينَ, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They're the ones who conveyed this to us. They're the ones who mentioned this to us. They're the ones who conveyed to us the narrations. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِمْنِي الْمَنَاوَى. They're the ones who clarified to us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make wudu, and how to make wudu, and how he would pray. All of these details, they came to us by the conveyance of the companions. So how could it be a religion and they were not known, and they did not know about it? How could it be considered Islam and it was not something that they were upon? Yani hasha, this is not possible. It's not possible. Even from the intellectual aspect, it's not possible that it can be a deen, a revelation that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then completed and perfected in his lifetime, and him nor his companions knew about it. Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor his companions knew about it. So this issue here of al-manhaj al-salafi, this is something that a believer should never have any doubts about. You should never have any doubts about that the methodology and the path that leads to Allah is the path of the Salaf al-Saleh. And likewise, after the companions, those great scholars and students of the companions from the Tabi'een. And after them, the great students from the Atba'i Tabi'een. In this manner, like this, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised him, خَيْرٌ نَاسْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يُلُونَهُمْ. The best of mankind is my generation, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَتَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ. in the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma in Sunan Abi Dawood. لَتَسْمَعُونَ يَنِي مَنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ يَنِي that you're going to hear. Any the knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will be heard from you, and it will be heard from those who heard from you. And he meaning that this chain of narration and that these generations here, they have been clarified that their religion is the good religion and their deen is the good way, and their deen is the good way. And anybody who follows that way and restricts himself to that understanding, wallahi, he will have nothing but clarity in his life with regards to his religion, and he would have no doubts. And he'll have no doubts. If a person, he started taking his religion from other sources or having an understanding that's in conflict with this understanding, then this is whenever the doubts will come and the misconceptions will come and the affairs will not be clear to him and he will not know what's happening in the ummah and why there is fighting here and why this ruler is doing that and why this is occurring here. And all of these affairs will be very unclear for him and he will not know, and maybe he'll be tried by them and follow some of them in misguidance, and then even after some time from following some of those misguided people, he will find out that they're upon falsehood, and then follow another group of misguided people who are contrary to them until he figures out that they're in falsehood likewise, and then he'll change again and follow some other misguided people like this, because he will not have light, he will not have guidance. The only true path, the true Islam, is the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum, and those who conveyed that, they're the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in, until this was all collected in the time of the imams of al-kutub al-sitta. Yani their religion is the good religion, their deen is the good deen, and their creed is the creed that is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal. May Allah grant us success to live upon their way and to die upon their way and to be resurrected with the Salaf as-Salih. But this requires effort and striving. This requires effort and striving. And they were Salaf, they are our Salaf, and they were Salih. They were our predecessors, but they are righteous. So if we're truly going to ascribe to them, then we have to strive to be righteous like them. So strive to be righteous like them. And if we truly had the proper creed, then that creed will rectify our manners. It will rectify our life. It will rectify our condition. And the knowledge, whenever it enters the heart properly, the knowledge of al-Tawheed and the knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will remove the darkness and it will remove ignorance. And it will rectify a person, his conduct and his manners and his etiquette. It will rectify his creed and his belief and his deen, and his whole life will change. Siblatullah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغًا. And it will affect his life entirely. Entirely. And whatever he was upon before that was contrary to that, it will be easy for him to leave that, because he knows that everything that is contrary to their way is falsehood and not good. This is the requirements of belief. To choose their way, to prefer their way, and to prefer the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla over everything else. So these narrations here, they clarify that. And this is from the clarification, the detailed clarification of the Quran, it come in the Sunnah. The detailed clarification of the Quran and come in the Sunnah. So this is an example of that. And these issues regarding the permissibility of breaking the fast while traveling, all of the details of that, they came in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So also from the excuses that are mentioned in this verse is al-marad. And what the author, he discussed was the issue of traveling. But likewise mentioned in that verse, along with traveling, along with the excuses that would allow a person to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan, is an marad, is a sickness. So we discussed these affairs now. And although the author, he didn't mention them, but we add them to this issue because it's very important and beneficial for a believer to be upon insight with regards to these affairs. And it's included along with the same udhr. Any of the rulings are very similar. The rulings of the permissibility of breaking the fast while traveling are coupled with the rulings of the permissibility of breaking the fast because of sickness. But there are some differences. So with regards to the marad, with regards to the sickness and all of this here, any of the sickness, meaning that is coupled with the issue of fasting. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the sickness is two types. Al-maradun nawani. Any in the chapter of fasting. Maradun yurja bur'uhu wa maradun la yurja bur'uhu. There's a type of sickness that it's hoped that it will be cured. Any something that is known and commonly in medicine, that this type of sickness, normally it will go away. Even if it's after a period. And what's known about this type of illness is that it can be cured and that it will go away. Either 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days, or even if it's a month or longer than that, it's hoped that this particular sickness will go away. This is what is included here in the verse. This is what is included here in the verse. Whenever Allah, he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا. This is the marad that is being referred to here. This is the marad that is being referred to here. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Then he can break his fast and make up those days. This is what is being referred to here. The other type is الْمَرَضُ الَّذِي لَا يُرْجَى بُرْءُهُ. A type of sickness that is not hoped that it will ever be cured. And it's a type of a disease or a sickness or an ailment that will be with a person, prohibiting him from fasting. And it's not known that this illness is going to go away. And it's something that will be with him, and he will be in a constant state of inability, and he incapable. And you call Allah al-ajiz al-mustamir. Allah ajiz yamna'uhu an-siyam ajiz al-mustamirran. That he has a disability. He's not able to fast, and this will not go away. This will not go away. Somebody who has a great sickness, wadiyadha billah. Some people, they have kidney diseases. Some people, they have liver diseases. If they're to fast, they will harm them. They're not ever going to be able to fast so long as that disease is with them. And it's not hope that it's going to be cured. Some people, they have diabetes in a manner that will not allow them to fast. It's harmful for them. Other people, likewise, included with this second issue is al-kabir, kabir sin. A person who reached old age. And his body became weak because of old age. His mind is still there. He still knows what he's doing. And he's still sane and has his sanity. But his body is weak and feeble. He's not able to fast. So he'll be included here. This issue here, the one who is old or he has a terminal sickness, he's not included now. He's not included. This issue, he has his own ruling. So what are we discussing now? We're discussing the issue related to the verse. And that is the type of sickness that is most probably going to go away, or that is well known that is going to go away. The scholars in their expression, they say, مَرَضٌ يُرْجَى بُرْءُهُ. مَرَضٌ يُرْجَى بُرْءُهُ. So this is what is intended here. This is what is intended here. The people of knowledge, barakallahu fikum, they mentioned that this type of sickness here, مِمَّا يُرْجَى بُرْءُهُ تَرَحَتُ أَحْوَال. The one who has this type of sickness, he has three different circumstances. This type of sickness will be like three different circumstances. The first one, al-marad al-khafif, a light sickness, and it doesn't stop him from doing his daily deeds. It's a light sickness. For example, he has a pain, a tooth pain, or he has a backache, or he has a headache, and the likes like this. But it's a minor or a light or a moderate sickness or ailment or pain that does not stop him from doing his daily deeds. He continues to go to work. He's got a headache. He has a toothache. He has a backache. His finger is hurting. His foot is hurting. Whatever the case may be like this. But he continues to go to work. He continues to deal with it. And his normal life is continuing. His normal life is continuing. The majority, or rather the fast majority. And Jamahir ulama, they say it's not allowed to break the fast because of the sickness. If that was the case, then any almost all of mankind will be able to break their fast all of the time, because the human being is always facing some type of ailment or sickness or going through the likes of these affairs. And the people are always faced with a headache or a toothache or with a stomachache or the likes like this that they face and they deal with from time to time on a daily basis whenever it comes. And it doesn't stop them from doing their daily deeds. It doesn't stop them from going to work or going to the market or taking care of their affairs and so on and so forth. So this type of sickness is not included. This type of sickness is not included. It's not allowed to break the fast because of a minor headache or a toothache or some small pain that is considered normal for the human being. It doesn't stop him from his daily affairs. The second situation is a type of sickness that is severe. And that it's feared that it could possibly harm the person. And if in this situation, if a person, he had the testimony of a reliable doctor telling him that fasting is harmful for him and could put him in danger, put his health in danger because of his sickness that he is experiencing at that moment. If he were to fast, it could possibly cause his sickness to increase. And or it could make him worse or delay recovery, or it would not be beneficial for him. And the doctors tell him not to fast. At this time, it's not a ruqsa for him. At this time, it's not a ruqsa. He's not allowed to fast. He's not allowed to fast. This person, in the best opinion of the scholars, and Allah knows best, he will not be allowed to fast. If the doctors who are qualified and reliable, they say, if you fast, it's going to harm you. Do not fast. Now he has a certain knowledge from a reliable source, and he verifying that the harm is most probable and most likely, so therefore it's not allowed to fast. Because harming oneself and harming others, and harm in general, and he bringing about harm, is haram in the deen of Allah. It's not allowed to harm oneself, and it's not allowed to harm others, and it's not allowed to harm one another. It's not allowed for a person to harm himself, and it's not allowed for a person to harm somebody else, and it's not allowed, it's not permissible in the deen of Allah for two people or a party of people to harm one another. Yani Allah, he says in his book, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, do not kill yourselves, and do not cast yourselves with your own hands to destruction. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, لَا ضَرَرْ وَلَا ضِرَارْ. It's collected by Tirmidhi. لَا ضَرَرْ is not allowed to harm anyone, not oneself and not anybody else. وَلَا ضِرَارْ and not any harming one another likewise, back and forth. It's not allowed. So somebody can't harm somebody, and he shouldn't think that, okay, well, if he harms me back, it's all good. And they go back and forth with the harm, and he bringing it back and forth with each other. And since one is not harming the other, whether they're doing it back and forth, this is allowed. No, it's not allowed to harm people. Harming people is not allowed. Harming oneself is not allowed. So this is something that a person, if he were to fast, it will harm him. So therefore, it's not allowed. We understand that point. So this is the case here. The third issue with regards to the marad is the one that it's severe, or it's something that is definitely affecting the individual, but he does not have certain knowledge that it will harm him. He does not have the testimony, for example, of a reliable doctor. He's on his own. But he knows from himself that if he were to fast, it could possibly harm him, or it could possibly delay his recovery. And he's most likely thinking this and feeling like this, knowing from himself if he were to fast. So now he will give his, yani he huwa amiru nafsihi. Now if he's in this case, he'll give himself the ruling. If he's feeling that it will most likely harm him, this is the one that's allowed for him. Or if he feels like likewise that he could fast, but it's going to bring an extra hardship, more difficult, yani more difficult than normal because of his sickness. It's going to make him go through a greater hardship if he were to fast. Maybe he could pull through, but it's going to weaken him in a great manner. And could possibly also delay the cure or delay the recovery. If all of these possibilities are present here, then this is the one that is recommended for him to break his fast. And this is the one that is being referred to in the verse. The difference between this level and the one before it is that in the one before, there was the testimony of a reliable doctor to verify upon knowledge that is harmful. So therefore it's not allowed. In the second case, there's no doctor, there's no verification from reliable source based upon knowledge that is harmful, but the person he evaluates himself and he feels like it most likely could be harmful or could be very difficult, more than normal, then in this case, this is the one that the ease comes, alhamdulillah, and he's allowed to break his fast. But what should he do? What should he do? And if he breaks his fast, what's incumbent upon him? And how do we understand this ease? He breaks his fast and forgets about it. Some people, they break their fast in the daytime of Ramadan, and they forget about it. Yani, forget about it. Now, I'm not meaning they forgot about it like a sahu, yeah. And yataghafaloon, they just turn it away. They turn away from it. And they don't have any care for it. Yatasahaloon fil qada. They're negligent with regards to making up days. No, you don't forget about it. No, you have to remember that day. You have to remember that day, and this is a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam, and it's a great obligation. First and foremost, the fast, as we have seen, is a great amana, and a sirr, a secret trust between the slave and between Allah. And then if a person, he took the license and the ease from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he broke his fast in that sacred period, and then he neglected paying that back, this is a debt that's upon his soul, he has to pay it back. So this is something that's very important. Not to neglect the issue of paying back the debt. Not to neglect the issue of repaying the trust. The trust of fasting. A person, he broke the fast, he's not going to take the license after that and then be like, you know, that's very... Somebody, for example, made it easy for somebody, and from one of us, for example, he had to pay a brother back a debt, and the brother told him, you know what, it's okay. Yani, the day you're supposed to pay me back today, go ahead and pay me back any next month, it's all good. And then after that, yani, he took advantage of the brother and never paid him back at all. I said, oh yeah, he's weak.
he's not making me pay him back now, then I'll just never pay him back again, and taking advantage of his kindness. Like this. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثُلُ الْعَالَى. A person who will not take the ruqsa. The ruqsa is kindness from Allah, mercy from Allah, the permissibility to break the fast. So the one who takes that, he pays it back. The one who takes that, he pays it back. He makes up that day. He makes up that day. The second type of marad is مَا لَا يُرْجَى بُرْءُهُ. The one that is not hope that it would ever be cured. And likewise, along with this, as we have seen, the one who is in old age. So what is incumbent upon this person is to break his fast. The person, he's very sick, he's ill and he's not able to fast, then he'll break his fast. And likewise, the old man who's very weak likewise, or the old woman as well, is very weak, it's difficult for them to fast, they will break their fast and they will not make it up. So there's a difference here. We have to pay attention to these details. We wouldn't mix these affairs up, because if one mixed these affairs up, then his fast will not be considered correct. His fast will not be considered correct, and he would not have been considered performing the obligation in the manner properly. Meaning that it will not be accepted from him. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd." Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affairs, our deen, our sunnah, our legal ways, it will be rejected. So to put one of these issues in the place where it doesn't belong, to mix them up, this is doing something that the Prophet ﷺ did not allow. So it will be rejected. So the point is, now there's another type of sickness that is not going to go away. And this is what is known by the doctors, that they mention generally it's not going to go away. This person, he will not fast, nor would he make it up. He will break his fast and he will not make it up. Rather, what will he do? He will feed a poor person every day. He'll feed one poor person for every day that he broke his fast. This is for the old man and for the old woman. And likewise, for the one who has a terminal illness, or illness that is thought that it will not go away. That is thought, and he mentioned by the doctors who are reliable, that it will not go away. So in the legislation of fasting, we have seen previously that it came in stages. So in the beginning stages of the fasting of Ramadan, it was a choice for them. They were allowed in the very beginning to either fast or to feed a poor person for every day. And they had the choice, with the encouragement of fasting, and fasting was better. وَانْتَصُمُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That's the meaning of those verses that we mentioned earlier. So in the beginning, they were given a choice to either fast or to feed a poor person. And they were encouraged to fast, and fasting was better. And then that was abrogated later, and fasting was made obligatory. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that whenever the believers were given a choice, the fact that feeding a poor person was made equivalent to fasting, this is an indication that the one who is not able to fast whatsoever still today, then the equivalent for him is to feed a poor person. We understand this. This analogy here, this qiyas here, this is very beneficial and very daqiq likewise. With regards to this. So the people of knowledge, they say that Allah جعل الإطعام معادلا للصيام حين كان التخير بينهما في أول فرض الصيام. فتأين أن يكون بدلا عنه عند العذر. So this is the requirement, that since the feeding a poor person was made equivalent to fasting, whenever there was an option before the obligation of fasting, then this is an indication that after the obligation of fasting, for the person who has an excuse that's not going to go away, he's not able to fast physically, then what he would do in place of fasting is feed a poor person. So this is an understanding from the qiyas, and this is from having fiqh in the deen. And likewise, this is what has been narrated from the salaf as well, and it has been collected by Imam Bukhari, and he mentioned rahimahullah in Sahih Bukhari, in the book of fasting. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa amma shaykh al kabir idha lam yutiq al siyam فقد أطعم أنس بعدما كبر عاما أو عامين عن كل يوم مسكينا وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في الشيخ الكبير والمرأة الكبيرة لا يستطيعان أن يصوما فليطعم مكان كل يوم مسكينا. So Bukhari, he mentioned, as for the old man, and even the one who is in old age and he's not able to fast, then with regards to the likes of this circumstance, Anas radiallahu anhu, whenever he became old for 1 or 2 years before he died, he fed. He broke his fast and he fed on every day. He fed on every day a poor person. This has been mentioned here, ta'liqan, but also it has been reported with an authentic chain that Anas, he did this, and that radiallahu anhu, and at the end of Ramadan he gathered 30 people and he fed them all until, and he cooked food for them and he fed them until they were full. He gathered 30 poor people. He gathered 30 poor people and he cooked food for them and he fed them till they're full. Radiallahu anhu. So this is what Al-Bukhari is referring to. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says that the old man and the old woman who are not able to fast, then they will feed on behalf of every day a poor person. They will feed on behalf of every day a poor person. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that which one will feed is nisf sa', is half of a sa', which is approximately 1.5 kilo. 1.5 kilo. 1.5 kilo is actually going to be more. Is going to be more. But that will be sufficient. This is from the fatwa of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, that if he gave this on behalf of every day, 1.5 kilo, this would be sufficient. Yani of rice or of barley or of wheat or of dates and the likes like this, this is what he will give if he gives dry food on behalf of every day. And also it's allowed to give cooked food. And if he gave cooked food, he will give the amount that is generally enough to feed a person. So what it would be required for him to do is to feed him until he's full. To feed him until he's full for every day. Either he's going to give him this kilo and a half of the dry food, or he's going to feed him cooked food at the amount that would generally fill a person. That would generally fill a person. This is what they must do every day. And in this manner, they have fulfilled the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan. In this manner, they have fulfilled the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan. So the one who's going to feed here is the one who is not able to fast. He's not able to fast. He's physically not able to fast because of a sickness, or because of old age, or because of old age. He's not allowed to feed before the entrance of Ramadan. He's not allowed to feed before the entrance of Ramadan, before the obligation comes. But after that, it's allowed. You can feed every day, daily. Or he can feed it all at one time. He can give it all at one time. And the likes like this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be to 30 different people in this circumstance. Because what is intended is to give a poor person, is to feed a poor person on behalf of every day. So it's not like some other kafarat where the number of people are intended. Here is just to feed the 30 for 30 days. A poor person for each day. A person, he could look into the family of someone, maybe somebody who is struggling and needy, and he could count the heads of that family. And he can give them the food that they need each. Each one of them, the amount in dry food, or feed them enough to fool them, to fill them. And the likes like this, and he'll do this on behalf of every day. And this is from the beauty of Al-Islam and the completion of the legislation, that there is a law and a right and good way in every circumstance and situation in the life of a believer. So a person, he will not just neglect this and say, oh, I'm sick, I can't fast and not do anything. La, there's still an obligation upon him. Some people, they do that. They say, oh, I'm sick, so they don't do any, I can't fast. So then they just forget about it. Again, forgetting about Islam. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْأَسْلَامِ. This is something you never forget about. And this is something that you teach your children to never forget about. Whatever you do, don't ever forget about Islam. Whatever you do, don't ever forget about the deen of Allah. Whatever you do, don't ever forget about the obligations of Allah. Because in this manner, a person in reality is forgetting his own soul. His own soul. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So, we can't forget about that. Some people, they have done that. So they got sick and they didn't fast. And also they didn't feed. So now they have to make up those days. Somebody, for example, he's sick. He didn't fast last Ramadan because he's sick and he has a permanent illness. He has to feed. He has to feed. And that requirement doesn't fall off. That requirement doesn't fall off. After this, likewise, from the A'dhar al-Mubiha, للفطر الحيض والنفاس والحمل والرضاع الحيض والنفاس والحمل والرضاع يعني the menses and the bleeding after pregnancy, and likewise pregnancy and breastfeeding. These are also from those affairs that would allow a person to break his fast or her fast in the daytime of Ramadan. And there are details with regards to that. Inshallah, we take that in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.